that dip is more dangerous than I think we realize. So if you go, if you look at some of the research on afternoons, what you see here is it's pretty remarkable. Standardized test scores for kids lower in the afternoon than in the morning. Math grades lower in the afternoon if they take math in the afternoon than if they take them in the morning. Anesthesia errors, 4 times more likely at 3 p.m. with or without a Snickers. Anesthesia errors, 3 times more likely at 3 p.m. than at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Fewer polyps detected in colonoscopies. Incredible deterioration in hand washing in hospitals. It's a dangerous time. So basically, don't go to the hospital in the afternoon, for real. I mean, don't do that.
Hello, everyone. So I was perusing my analytics, like one does, and I noticed something very interesting. So I'm often comparing the audience here on the audio podcast to that of the video channel on YouTube. If you haven't gone over to see what's happening on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/behindthebrand with Brian Elliott. And also to my Inc. magazine audience, which is over on inc.com. You can search me by author name. In any case, I was noticing that I have literally millions of views on some of these videos from some of the earlier podcasts. And because, you know, when I first uploaded a few years ago, started uploading, the podcast was fairly unknown. No one knew that it even existed. While at the same time, millions and millions of people have been watching on YouTube. And I noticed that it had far less views or listens, downloads in this case, than it did on YouTube. And so I thought, well, some things are worth repeating and others are worth re-uploading with a little twist or modernizing. And this one is from best-selling author Dan Pink, who's written other great books like To Sell as Human, Drive, and A Whole New Mind. Dan is a very unique individual with a very colorful background, a lot of experience. And I love this book, When, because it's all about timing. And isn't it all about timing? Here's a little paraphrase from the inside of the cover. All of us confront a never-ending stream of when decisions. When to change jobs, when to schedule a class, when to get serious about a person or a project. Yet we make these decisions haphazardly, based on intuition, hunches, and guesswork. In When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing, Dan Pink argues this is exactly the wrong approach. We all know that timing is everything, Pink says, but we assume that timing is an art. In When, he makes clear that timing is really a science. I think this is another period of time that's worth considering our timing. Could be investments, could be opportunities, could be decisions about our health, relationships, whatnot. So I hope you enjoy this evergreen as much as I did. We're going to do a quick word from our sponsor and then get into it. All right, here we go. This episode is brought to you by 4Laps. When I was searching for the perfect short to take me from a run near my house in Laguna right into a swim into the Pacific Ocean, I found the 5-inch 4Laps Bolt Short. The truth is, I sometimes sleep in my shorts now too. They are that comfortable. I soon discovered that I could build an entire active lifestyle wardrobe to meet the functional needs of my busy job running my California-based production company. I wear the fashionable Traverse pants with an open button-down shirt or casual sports jacket for pitch meetings, and flex joggers and a Radius polo on set when I really need to move around a lot. I highly recommend checking out 4Laps full line for men and women. Use my special promo code BRY, that's B-R-Y, and get a great deal off your next purchase. This episode is brought to you by 8Sleep. Good sleep is the ultimate game changer, and the 8Sleep pod is the ultimate sleep machine. I have a big announcement, everyone. Choose your form. The new Pod 3 cover and mattress is finally here. For me, the three pillars of health are sleep, nutrition, and exercise. Sleep, especially on a thermoregulated bed, at the right temperature customized just for me, has been the key to me feeling my best and performing at a high level. The 8Sleep Pro Pod is a game changer, I promise you. If you sleep with someone every night like I do, you would normally have to compromise with your partner on temperature, but not with 8Sleep. The pod is the only sleep technology that dynamically cools and heats each side of your bed to maintain the optimal sleeping temperature for what your body needs. With the pod, you can start sleeping as cool as 55 degrees Fahrenheit or as hot as 110. You control everything with an app on your phone, and it's really super easy. The result: clinical data shows that 8 Sleep users experience up to 19% increase in recovery, up to 32% improvement in sleep quality, and up to 34% more deep sleep. I can attest to this. My sleep has improved dramatically since sleeping on 8 Sleep. The new Pod 3 enables even more accurate sleep and health tracking with double the amount of sensors, delivering you the best sleep experience on earth. The Pod isn't magic, but it feels like it. Go to 8sleep.com/Bri, that's EIGHT sleep.com/Bri, to start sleeping cool this summer and save a ton with my special discount code. 8 Sleep currently ships within the United States, Canada, the UK, select countries in the EU, and Australia. This episode is brought to you by Vimeo. I've been a pro user of Vimeo basically since I started my production company in 2010. Vimeo is for creative professionals like me, and I use it in several different ways. For example, it's a place for me to upload my videos with a password for my clients to be able to review and download the work I'm doing for them. There's no compression, crushing of black colors, or oversaturation like what I get when I upload a YouTube video. My clients get the full 4K resolution HD as it was intended. I also use it to host and broadcast live events. I also use Vimeo for my portfolio, case studies, and it never has annoying pre-roll ads. I can create a customized player and keep people on my landing page so they don't get distracted and go down the rabbit hole watching someone else's stuff. What you may not know about Vimeo is that you can use it if you're in HR or if you own a company. You can put all of those onboarding videos all in one place, a nice, tidy, professional-looking playlist or playboard where people can consume and understand or download all the new training videos all in one place. You could also do the same thing if you teach a course. Imagine putting all your videos behind a paywall, charging for it, and then, you know, sending people the link with a password. Need a videographer, creative director, or editor? Vimeo lets you post jobs and find creative professionals. There's a ton more options, so I would suggest checking them out. All right, here we go.
I'm Daniel Pink, author of When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing, and you're watching Behind the Brand with Brian Elliott.
When is the best time to have an interview with someone who's notable, famous, and influencer?
Well, I was thinking about that as I was coming over, because having an interview with someone who is notable, famous, and an influencer. And, it's a great question to ask. And that's actually the heart of this latest batch of research that I've done, which is that we don't ask that question. We focus very strongly on what we're going to do, who we're going to do it with, how we're going to do it. But when it comes to the question of when we're going to do things, we don't really take it that seriously. And we ought to, because there's a very, very rich body of science telling us that there are better ways to make our when decisions in our life. We can get more productive, more creative, and actually feel better.
I mean, I've always thought it and experienced it. Timing is everything. Tell us a couple of these fun stories from the book, because there's a lot of great anecdotes leading up to some of the hacks.
The main idea in the book is that we make our decisions about timing based on intuition and guesswork. That's what I always did. I always made these kinds of decisions in a very sloppy, haphazard way. That's the wrong way to make them. And it turns out there is this incredible body of science across many, many disciplines giving us clues about how to make these decisions better, smarter, and shrewder. And this is true at the unit of a day. So the data and the evidence tell us that we can reconfigure our schedule to be maximally productive and creative in the course of a day. There's some great research on breaks. We should be taking more of them. And then if we widen the lens a little bit, we can talk about the episodic nature of our lives. Beginnings, midpoints, endings, all of these exert an influence on our behavior. And if we're aware of them, we can work smarter and live better.
What inspired you to write it? Were you thinking about timing, or,
frustration inspired me to write it, really, because I was doing this myself. I mean, I was making when decisions myself, and it occurred to me that I was making them in this completely half-assed way. And I said, that's great. Why am I doing it that way? And I started looking for guidance. It didn't exist. And that surprised me. Like, I would think there'd be like guidance out there about how to make better timing decisions.
Can you talk a little bit about, early riser, late riser, and, how that plays into how we can be more efficient in our lives?
One thing that we know very clearly is that in the unit of a day, our cognitive abilities don't stay the same throughout the day. That's really important. we have this notion that, okay, our abilities are going to be basically pretty much constant from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep. And that is not true. Our abilities vary in significant ways. And what we see in most of this research is the following, that we move through the day in three stages, a peak, a trough, a recovery, up, down, up again. Now, in order to figure out when to do the right thing, you have to answer that very question that you just asked, Brian, which is, what is your fancy word, chronotype? Are you an early riser? Are you a late riser? Or do you wake up early and go to sleep early? Do you wake up late and go to sleep late? Or are you in the middle? All right. And so what the distribution in the population looks like is this. 15% of us are larks, early people. 20% of us are owls, late people. And there's some super extreme late people. And then 2/3 of us are in the middle. It's sort of like, you know, you and I have talked before about introversion, extroversion, ambiversion, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are introverts, some people are extroverts. Most people, like you, like me, are ambiverts.
Yeah.
And so 2/3 of us are kind of in the middle. And so what you have to do is you have to figure out what's your chronotype. And again, there's a very simple way to do that. And there are 80% of us are either larks or in the middle. Those folks move through the day, peak, trough, recovery. Owls are much more complicated. They tend to move through the day, recovery, trough, peak, basically have their peak moments later in the day. Mm-hmm. Now, what we know from this, that the first step is to figure out your type, as you just asked. Then we have to figure out what kind of task are you doing? Is it an analytic task requiring heads down focus and attention, or is it a more creative task where you want to be a little bit looser? And once we do all those things, we can do the right work at the right time, and here's how it works. We should be doing our analytic work during the peak. That's when we are most vigilant. We can bat away distractions, we can lock down, we can focus. For most of us, that peak is the morning. For owls, it's much later in the day. But during our peak, we're most vigilant. That's when we should be doing our analytic work, writing a report, analyzing data, crunching numbers, things that require intense focus. During the trough, right, that's for almost all of us, the early to mid-afternoon. That's not a very good time, as you know from the book, for anything. A lot of bad stuff happens
then. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole candy campaign, Snickers campaign, built around that sort of common knowledge that right around 2, 3, 4 o'clock, we hit that dip.
Typically we hit a dip around 7 hours after we wake up. So for someone like me, you're exactly right. I wake up at 7, I'm going to hit a dip at, you know, around 2. Yeah. Now, that dip is more dangerous than I think we realize. So if you look at some of the research on afternoons, what you see here is it's pretty remarkable. Standardized test scores for kids lower in the afternoon than in the morning. Math grades lower in the afternoon if they take math in the afternoon than if they take them in the morning. Anesthesia errors, 4 times more likely at 3 p.m. with or without a Snickers. Anesthesia errors, 3 times more likely at 3 p.m. than at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Fewer polyps detected in colonoscopies. Incredible deterioration in hand washing in hospitals. It's a dangerous time. So basically, don't go to the hospital in the afternoon, for real. I mean, don't do that.
Have your surgery in the morning.
Absolutely. And basically, you should try to avoid not going to a hospital in general. But if you go into a hospital and you have some discretion over it, don't go in the afternoon. I mean, don't schedule an important doctor's appointment or anything important in the hospital in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I truly would not let anybody in my family do that now that I've looked at this, that I've looked at this research. You see it in auto accidents. Auto accidents are complicated, not complicated, but they're a little bit more complex because the number of accidents is going to be a function of how many cars there are on the road. And so there's not a constant number of cars on the road. So once you control for that, the most dangerous time to be on the road is between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. The second most dangerous time, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Maybe because people are eating Snickers and not focused on the road.
Yeah.
And so during this trough, okay, it's not a good time for us. We should be doing our administrative work. We should be answering our routine emails, filling out our stupid reports and things like that. Then the recovery period, which for most of us, 80% of us, is the late afternoon and early evening, around the time that you and I are gathering here in Los Angeles. What we know about that time of day is the following. Our mood goes back up, but we're less vigilant than we are during the peak. Now, that turns out to be an interesting combination. When you have higher mood and less vigilance, that makes it a good time for things like brainstorming, mm-hmm. for solving what are called insight problems, for things that require some looseness. And it's basically, if you look at the research, and going back to my initial question and frustration, the design principles are in the science. Do your analytic work during the peak, whenever that may be, do your administrative work during the trough, and do your insight, creative, iterative work in the recovery. And it's really that simple. The problem is, of course, is that we don't do that.
So Dan, break down, you know, early riser, late riser, and the benefits of, you know, understanding who you are. Help us understand what that looks like.
That's actually the first step in figuring out the right time of day to do certain kinds of tasks. So what you're talking about, Brian, is something called a chronotype. It's basically, what's your inclination? Do you wake up early and go to sleep early? Do you wake up late and go to sleep late? Or are you in the middle? And I could actually figure out yours right now if you wanted to.
Yeah, so I get up, I'd say, right around 6:30, 7 a.m. I go to sleep kind of late, between midnight, maybe right around midnight.
Tell me about a day, a free day, a day when you don't have to get up to an alarm clock. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not massively sleep deprived, but you don't have to get up to an alarm clock. And those kinds of days, what time would you typically go to sleep?
All right, we'll be right back with another word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you in part by our friends at WeWork. The reason I chose to have an office at WeWork is based a lot on flexibility. I started a decade ago as a one-person company, and now we have a growing team. WeWork has the space and budget for all my needs. From hot desks for one, to a full office setup with multiple people, I can grow, scale up or down whenever I need. I also love the community and other small business and entrepreneurs who work here. It's super collaborative and everyone is in the same boat, willing to help each other out. If you're interested in a tour, visit WeWork.com, search by your city and zip code for a WeWork near you. Now let's get back to our episode.
And those kinds of days, what time would you typically go to sleep?
I would go to sleep around probably 11.
11, okay. Yep. And then what time would you typically wake up?
My body seems to wake up right around 7-ish.
Okay, great. So 11 to 7. So what we're trying to do here is a very back-of-the-envelope way to figure out your chronotype. And 11 to 7, so what we're trying to do is figure out your midpoint of sleep. So your midpoint of sleep, if you're 11 to 7, is 3 a.m. And so what this shows is, and we know if your midpoint of sleep is earlier than 3:30, you're probably a lark, a morning person. If your midpoint of sleep is after 5:30, you're an evening person. And if you're in the middle, if you're in between those, you're a third bird, you're in the middle. And so you are sort of not an extreme lark, but you're a lark, I would say, a morning person, okay? So 15% of people are like you, morning people. 20% of people are late people, owls. Two-thirds of people, like me, are what I call third birds, or in the middle. And so that's the first thing that we need to figure out, all right? So, larks and people in the middle have a fairly common pattern. Owls are much more complicated. Owls are very complicated. The world is very unfair to owls. Mm-hmm. All right, so what we also know is that we tend to move through the day in three stages: a peak, a trough, a recovery. A peak, a trough, a recovery. Most of us, people like you and me, the larks, the people in the middle, move through in that order. Owls, more complicated. They tend to move through it in the reverse order, but they basically hit their peak later in the day. Mm-hmm. So three stages, peak. The peak is when we're most vigilant, and that's the key. What does that vigilance mean? Vigilance means you can bat away distractions. So that means that it's the best time for doing analytic work, work that requires heads down, focus, and attention, writing a report, running the numbers on something, going through step by step the elements of a strategy. During the trough, the early to mid-afternoon, that's not good for very much. That's a very, very dangerous time. You see decreases in test scores in schools. You see huge problems in healthcare and health and medicine. Huge.
We get sleepy. Maybe we don't have enough energy or focus. It's the time we need a Snickers or something.
It's really bad, actually. I would not let anybody in my family go to the hospital in the afternoon. The data are just overwhelming. You got to four times like greater chance of anesthesia errors at 3 p.m. than you do at 9 a.m. I mean, it's crazy. If you look at hand washing in hospitals, huge drop off in hand washing in hospitals in the afternoon.
Wow.
You see even some interesting indicators of corporate performance falling off in that period. Even things like traffic accidents. Traffic accidents, you obviously have to control for cars on the road. Mm-hmm. There are going to be more traffic accidents when there are a lot of cars on the road. Big surprise. Once you control for that, though, the most dangerous time to be on the road is 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. I don't think that's a shocker. It's like dark outside, and who's out then? All right. The second most dangerous time, 2 to 4 p.m. And so this trough is not a good time for us. We should be doing our administrative work, things that don't require a lot of mental firepower, answering your routine emails, filing, that kind of garbage. The recovery, that's an interesting period. So for most of us, that recovery is late afternoon and early evening. That's an interesting period because our mood actually goes back up. Our mood goes up, down, up. Our mood goes back up. However, we're less vigilant. Now, that's an interesting combination because when our mood is good and we're less vigilant, that makes it a good time for things like brainstorming, right? If you're hypervigilant, you're not a good brainstormer. That's a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea. You want to be looser. There's certain kinds of problem solving that is better done loosely rather than tight. And so we should be doing our what are called insight problems during that period. Mm-hmm. And that's basically it. Analytic work during the peak, administrative work during the trough, and insight work during the recovery. It's that simple. And again, if you're an owl, what it means is that you want to do your analytic work during your peak, which is going to be later in the afternoon, probably beginning. You and I are talking about 4 p.m. It's about the time that owls are somewhat getting going, right?
Yep.
And so for me and you, we're sort of entering that kind of recovery period where we're less vigilant than we were at 9 a.m. But our mood is, you know, we're out of the trough, so our mood is a little bit better. It actually makes it, it makes it a good time for an interview. In fact, when I do my interviews, when I'm in your seat doing interviews for books and things like that, I usually schedule my interviews for late in the afternoon and early evening because my interviews are sort of like yours. We're not investigative journalists. We're not trying to catch people, trap people. We're just trying to say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Analytic, peak. Administrative, trough. Insight, recovery. Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
Yeah, so it makes me think about a couple different things. I mean, I would assume that anything that involves human error, human judgment, whether it's being a doctor or, you know, driving a car. Then I also think about booking my flight. So maybe because a lot of that's automated, probably don't have to worry about.
Unless you're flying like a commercial airline, you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Those pilots, those people in the front, they're basically, they're there to talk to you. They're there basically to get the plane off the ground and land it. And then once it's in the air.
Yeah. So
the computers take over. That's why it's so safe.
Yeah. But if you have...
That's one reason it's so safe.
I mean, but, you know, maybe a lot of people watch this have got a kid in high school or college, and they're taking their math classes, or at least have a choice of when they take them. Take those classes up early in the morning, you're saying.
Well, there's a little bit of a confounding thing for high schoolers and teenagers, which we can get to in a moment. But certainly for elementary school students, there's no question... In the research, that kids do better on those kinds of subjects, especially math, earlier in the day rather than later in the day. There's some great piece of research from University of Chicago looking at 2 million students from the LA Unified School District, and what it found is that kids who took math in the morning learned more math, had higher GPAs, did better on their standardized tests. It's because they're able to lock down and focus. Now, when you get to well, we can talk about teenagers later. Teenagers are a little bit more complicated because of some changes going on in the body. But in general, this is exactly the point that I'm trying to make in this book, which is that we should be having this conversation, and we don't.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, Brian. Meetings in organizations. How do we schedule meetings in organizations? When we schedule meetings in organizations, we use only one criterion, and that is availability.
Right. Is it open?
Who's available, and is the room open? Precisely. We don't say, is this a meeting where people need to be creative and loose and iterative? Is this a meeting where people need to be locked down and focused and analytical? Is this purely administrative? Do we have the larks like Brian here? Do we have owls like Maria? Do we have, you know, middle people like Dan? We don't even ask those questions. We just say, who's available and is the room open? And that's a huge mistake.
So how could things change? I mean, how do you do that in an organization that has more than 50 people? I mean, do you do this kind of like Myers-Briggs style categorization? You make sure that everyone, you know, understands who each other is?
It's unlike Myers-Briggs because this is actually based on real science. Myers-Briggs is not. I think what you want to do is you want to give people more liberty in doing the right work at the right time.
Is there any implications of sharing your, you know, whether or not you're early riser or late riser? Is there any privacy implications that I can think
I don't
of?
Know, because in most workplaces you're giving up your social security number anyway, and they're taking taxes out. So I think you forfeit a certain amount of privacy when you walk through the doors of when you walk through the doors of a big company, you certainly forfeit privacy when you turn on your phone. I mean, the truth is, if you want to live completely off the grid, you can probably follow your chronotype to your heart's content.
Well, I like the idea, especially, you know, and there's other color coding systems. Well, he's a red and she's a yellow, you know, whatever, yeah. Whoever that stuff is.
I would rather do this. Let's say that you're my boss. All right, here's what I would rather do. I would rather have you say, Dan, when in the day do you think you do the best kind of work? Do that. You don't have to do a Myers-Briggs kind of assessment. You can use what's called the Munich Chronotype Questionnaire, the MCTQ, which is a validated assessment for measuring chronotype. You basically get very similar answers to that back of the envelope thing that I did. And so you have, let's say you have, you're a boss of someone like me, all right? And what you should do is you should allow me to do my uninterrupted analytic work during my best time. So what you shouldn't do, and a lot of management is what should I not do? What you shouldn't do is you shouldn't call people like me into a meeting at 9:30 in the morning about the travel voucher policy.
Right.
Because what you're doing is you're taking an administrative task and you're squandering my best time. By the same token, if you have, you know, Kevin or Tony who are here working with us, and they are, let's say that they're late people, don't make Kevin and Tony come into an 8 o'clock meeting. Don't make Al's come into an 8 o'clock meeting unless it's urgent.
Right.
All right. And so it's things like that. And so if we work at it at the unit of one and at the sort of the, you know, the individual and the person to whom the boss to whom that individual is reporting, then I think you can make some small changes. And this is actually really important. It's not a nice thing. What the research shows is that time of day effects explain about 20% of the variance in how people perform on workplace tasks. That's a big freaking deal.
Yeah, I mean, time is money, right? This is about efficiency. There's a lot of, each chapter heading kind of has hacks.
Right.
Let's dive into some of the more, the interesting hacks that could be directly applicable to work. I love the meeting hack.
Yeah.
That's a super smart way of approaching that. What else do you think is noteworthy?
So I think part of it is actually, you know your chronotype and being able to follow this relatively simple set of design principles on putting the right work at the right time. So that's one important thing. Another important thing is what we know from the research is the importance of breaks. We should be taking more breaks and we should be taking certain kinds of breaks.
Yeah, I love you wrote about scheduling breaks. You
know, absolutely.
Literally put it in your phone.
Absolutely
like
right.
Time to stand up, move around.
Exactly, exactly.
Even take a nap.
Well, there's a lot of good research on the benefits of naps. But on breaks in general, what we know is this. We should be taking more breaks. We should be taking certain kinds of breaks. This idea that we have out there in certain workplace cultures that you should power through, that the way to get more done is to power through, not to take a break. It's just wrong. I mean, it's not wrong morally, although there's this view, I think, that powering through is morally virtuous. It's not. What's morally virtuous is getting good work done. I'm a sinner on this one, Brian, because I was someone who rarely took breaks, and I had it completely wrong. I believed that amateurs took breaks and professionals didn't. It's the exact reverse. Professionals take breaks. They're intentional about it. And one way to be intentional about it, exactly as you say, is to schedule it. And you don't have to go crazy here, okay? We're not talking about a 3.5-hour siesta. We're talking about scheduling a 15-minute break. And what we know about breaks, the design principles of breaks, are very straightforward. We know that something beats nothing. So literally, as you hinted before, a 1 or 2-minute break is better than not doing anything. We also know that social is better than solo. So taking a break with someone else is more restorative than taking it on your own, even for introverts. We know that moving is better than stationary. I think that, I mean, you've done stuff on sitting and the dangers of sitting. We know, so that's a pretty obvious one.
Yep.
We know that outside is better than inside. There's some interesting research on the replenishing effects of nature. And we know that fully detached beats semi-detached. So you want to be able to leave your phone behind, not talk about work. And so, you know, if people on the job take a 10-minute walk break outside with someone they like, leaving their phone behind, talking about something other than work, they're going to do their jobs better.
Yeah, period. I mean, wow, you just basically rattled off 10 things that probably, you know, 8 or 9 out of 10, no one's even thinking about.
Right. I mean, I think that's right. And this is the problem, because for whatever reason, we don't take these questions of when seriously enough.
Yeah.
So you know, the folks who are watching your show, my guess is that on the day that they're watching this, 90% of them have a to-do list, right? Right. So that what does that mean? That means that they're intentional. That's a sign of intentionality. They're intentional about, they're literally enumerating what they're going to do. They're intentional about how they're going to do it, who they're going to do it with. They're not intentional about when. They just say, okay, whatever. I'll just, you know, got it. Doesn't really matter when I have this meeting, when I do this kind of work, when I do that kind of work, as long as they do it.
You are absolutely right. Although, something I learned from Stephen Covey a long time ago was, you know, first things first. And I try to make my to-do list on, you know, the hottest burning fire, the most important thing in order of priority. Although, to your point, I probably still have it wrong.
It depends. Now, here's the thing. Now, it depends on what kind of task it is. So if it's a, if it's an analytic task, absolutely do it first. For, as a lark, absolutely do it first thing.
Yeah.
What I, another tiny hack that I use now, and here's the thing. This book, more than other books that I've written, has really changed the way I do my own work. And so one of the things that I do nearly every day, especially on days when I'm in my office, not days when I get to, when they liberate me to go out and talk to people like you, but days that I'm in my office, I write down my MIT, my most important task. It's the most important thing I have to do that day. And in general, as an earlier person, I like to, I do that first. Mm-hmm. So do that first. If I were an owl, I'm not sure that doing that most important thing first is a good idea. It isn't.
So maybe for owls, checking your email is not a bad thing to do first thing in the morning.
Yeah, or like you just try to get, you know, if you get enough sleep, you know, you might have you might have that recovery period at the beginning, but sort of do some of your non-essential stuff and then really lock down when you're at your best.
So this makes me think about videos because we're always considering, you know, when should we publish this piece? Is it 8 a.m. on a Monday? Is it at 3 p.m. on a Friday? Can you offer me any advice? I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into consideration.
But it's a great question. And in some ways, the answer for you on your show is the same answer for all of us at our work, which is basically test it. One of the things that we don't do enough of in our own lives is act like scientists. What do scientists do? Scientists have hypotheses.
Right.
And they test them.
Yeah.
So for me, and once we get past these guidelines, so I could have a hypothesis saying, and I've tried this, like, okay, right, my peak is in the morning. Maybe I should start work at 7 a.m. That doesn't work very well for me. I'm not actually quite awake at 7 a.m. I can wake up at about 7 a.m., but my brain doesn't really activate until about 8. So I had a hypothesis. I should start at 7. Doesn't work very well. For me, starting at 8, 8:30, that works very well. And that's it. So we can't look for, we all want to have uniform, one-size-fits-all answers. And human beings have variation, and we're not all identical. We have small variations here. And so what you want to do is you want to test it. And you know, online, it's easy to test things.
Yeah. Was there any evidence about work week, like, you know, Monday being better or worse than a Wednesday or a Thursday? Or
yeah, I found this stuff on days of the week fairly murky.
Okay.
With one exception, which is Monday. Monday can be a very important temporal landmark. So you asked earlier about, you know, the publishing of the book. This idea of these temporal landmarks. Temporal landmarks can give us what researchers call a fresh start. Some landmark research from Katie Milkman at Penn, Jason Rees at Penn, Heng Chen Dai now at UCLA, and showing that there's certain dates where we're more likely to start behavior change than other dates.
Yes. So it's like clean slate thinking, man, I partied over the weekend, I ate too much, I drank too much, whatever. Monday, I'm going cold turkey, I'm starting over, reset.
Right. And it doesn't always work, but Mondays can have that kind of effect. So if you want to start a new exercise regime, you're better off doing it. You're more likely to begin, and therefore you're more likely to sustain if you start it on a Monday rather than on a Thursday.
Now, let's talk about fitness, because there's a lot about fitness in it, and I like that a lot. Talk about, you know, why people quit, and it has everything to do with, you know, when they start. Break that down for us.
Oh, well, I mean, on fitness, there, in terms of like time of day to exercise, again, that's one of those things where if you go into the science, it yields some principles. It doesn't yield the specific answers, but it yields these guidelines. And I think it's pretty clear. So should you exercise in the morning or should you exercise later in the day? And the answer is, as is the answer to most things, it depends. Morning exercise is better for certain goals. It's better for losing weight. We burn off more calories in the morning, the right kind of calories, than we do later in the day.
Yeah, and you talked about not eating breakfast versus eating breakfast.
Right.
Of course, if you want to, you know, burn more fat or calories
exactly.
before breakfast.
Exactly. Yeah. So morning exercise seems to be better for weight loss. It seems to be better for habit formation. I think that's because you're less likely to get interrupted by life at 7 in the morning than you are at, you know, 5 in the evening.
Yeah.
And then also exercise. I mean, exercise is so good for you. Exercise gives us a pretty enduring mood boost. And if you exercise late in the day, you end up sleeping away some of that mood boost. If you do it in the morning, you get the mood boost throughout the day. That's the case for morning exercise. The case for evening exercise is just as good, but different. Evening exercise is better for avoiding injury because we're literally, we have changes in body temperature, so we're literally more warmed up. Evening exercise is better for performance, it seems. Our lung function is higher. Our hand-eye coordination is better that time of day. There are a disproportionate number of world records and speed events that are set between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. Yeah. And this is the what works for me, is people who exercise in the late afternoon and early evening tend to enjoy it more. They find it less effortful, and probably, again, because of body temperature means they're more warmed up. So it really, so what I have done is I found morning exercise kind of effortful, not that enjoyable, whereas evening exercise, I feel great. I mean, it feels, you know, I feel like I'm not, you know, straining myself. And of course, the older I get, the more I'm at risk of you know, injuries and things like that. So for me, on balance, better off doing it late afternoon and early evening.
Let's go back to a sales question, because I know you've studied a lot about sales as well. You know, probably a lot of people who are watching this too are marketers, and they're mm-hmm. trying to either send an email or yep. they have an ad going.
Yep.
What is the ideal time to reach that decision maker? Let's say that she's in the C-suite mm-hmm. and, you know, you want to
yeah.
call or send something.
Again, my big answer would be test it, as always. And so on email, very easy to test those kinds of things. My longer answer would be there is some research on decision making, and what it shows is this. When people make decisions, they come into the encounter with a default decision, and that default decision is usually no. So you're going to ask, I mean, oh, it is. Yeah. So you're trying to sell somebody something, and their default answer, no, I'm not going to buy that.
Yeah.
You ask your boss for a raise, no. All right, so the default answer is no. So the question then becomes, are there different times of day, different situations, different temporal moments when people are more likely to overcome the default? And the answer turns out to be yes. It seems like earlier in the day and immediately after breaks.
See, this is where it gets interesting for
people,
me.
People are more likely to overcome the default. Now, what does that mean? I don't want to oversell this
yeah.
because what we're talking about here are probabilities. So let's say you're selling something to the C-suite, a C-suite prospect, and you have a meeting, you know, earlier in the day rather than later in the day. So later in the day, let's say you have a 7% chance of succeeding, all right? And let's say that if you do it at the right time, you can dial it up to a 11% chance, okay? If you have 11% chance, and this is advanced math for us, you have an 89% chance of failing, all right? It's still not likely to work.
Yeah.
But I will take 11% over 7%, especially when I'm doing it again and again and again and again and again. Eventually, the law of large numbers will work to my advantage. So all we're doing here is we're trying to twist the dial a little bit more in our favor.
Well, and again, to zoom out a little bit, it's about being more strategic about timing.
Right, absolutely.
It's brilliant.
As always, thanks for listening. Don't forget to leave a review and as many stars as you think this show deserves. It helps more people find us and join the community. I'll catch you in the next episode. Thanks very much. But like I say, man, always said it. It's not about the destination.